to you all, a very warm welcome to you, and I'm particularly pleased that Ben Sutton is here this morning to lead our service from Ramsey. So welcome to you, Ben, and thank you for leading the service this morning. Just a couple of notices. Our regular Tuesday midweek meeting, prayer and Bible study, is at 7:30 on Tuesday via Zoom. If you'd like to join us and you don't have the details, then do please get in touch with me. Next Sunday, Mark Plum will be here from Haverhill. And just one other notice, thank you for your harvest donations. We raised £950, which is going to the Barnabas Fund to help the famine relief in Madagascar. So thank you for that.
Well, good morning. It's good to be with you once again. Let's just begin with a word of prayer. Lord God, we do thank you for this day. Thank you that we can meet together in this place as a body of your people. We do pray that you will fill us with your spirit, that you will be with us and unite us and bind us together. We will worship you and do you proud, that you will be pleased with what we bring to you today. And we pray that you'll help us to focus on you, to be interested and attentive to your word, that you will speak to us through it. And we just pray that you bless our time together and be with us now. Amen. I gave some hymn numbers, but I've realised it. Slightly thrown today. Songs of Fellowship. Okay, my work out was not very useful. Is our opening hymn, which begins, I am a new creation, and more in condemnation. My sermon today is on one of the I Am's, so I thought this was a fitting 197. Seen him. Philip said, "Lord, show us, Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Do you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." And so reads God's word. Our second hymn, I believe, is number 321. Let me just double check that's accurate. Yes. In 321, "Lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us." Easy, so perhaps these testing times have taught people something. We pray for our nation and we pray for our government that they will be good leaders that we are able to follow. We thank you for our friends and our families and our co-workers and our peers, friends at school. We pray that you be with them, that they will see the truth of the gospel through us. And we pray for our brothers and sisters here in this place, that whatever their need is at this time, that you will meet their need, that you will draw near to them and help them. We pray for the leaders of our church, that you will be with them as they guide us and help us and arrange our weekly meetings and do all the things that need to happen to enable us to be here together. Protect them from the evil one and help them, keep them strong. And we pray for the works of this church. We pray that they will continue to reach out to this area, that people will come in and be interested in you. Pray for the growth of the members here, independently and as a body. And we pray that you help us today as we open up your word. Help us to find strength in it. Help us to be challenged by it. And what you bring us today, help us to understand it and be built up, captivated and enthused by it. And Lord, we do just pray that you help us to worship you and glorify you better this day. Amen. If the children would perhaps like to go out during this third hymn, but we can sing number 92, which is Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without the knowledge of your parent and your loving care. Sometimes you're so lost that you know you want to be over there, but you don't even know how to get yourself to get there. That makes sense. Sometimes, though, you actually think you're going in the right direction, and then you end up in the wrong place, and it's quite a surprise. Sometimes we let other people who seem so sure of the way, they tell us that they know the way, and they guide us, and we end up in the wrong place. When my wife and I returned to the UK from our honeymoon a few years back, we came into Gatwick Airport, which is South London. And I knew the way home from Gatwick Airport. I've done that drive many, many times. And you basically, to up here, you go round the M25, up the A1, and pretty much there. Didn't need a sat nav, didn't need a map, I knew the way. But it was late. It was really late. We left the airport, it was approaching midnight. We're both tired from a long day, a long week, a lot of travelling. And as we got driving around the M25, I debated whether to go up the A1, the very familiar route to me, or get off on the M1 that my sister had continually told me was a better way. So I decided to keep it interesting. And I went up the M1, less familiar. I just needed to remember to get off at Bedford, get off on the 421. Just remember to get off at Bedford. We're cruising along, music playing, not much traffic on the road, Jenny's falling asleep, I'm in kind of autopilot. I don't know how long I'm in autopilot, if you've been driving like that and you kind of almost zone out and suddenly come to and I think, where am I? There's a turning for Bedford. Drive a bit further, no signs. Ah, signpost, fantastic. Coventry, 14 miles away. What? Sat in the M1 so long I drifted into the Midlands, and I was now as far from home as I was when we started. It was 2 a.m, and I've never been more angry in my entire life. So what happened? I thought I knew the way. And I stopped paying attention. And I got lost. And that is a clear example of what it means as Christians when we talk about being lost. Being lost means we aren't where we expected to be. We're headed in the direction, we're not headed in the direction that we thought we were. We can take wrong roads deliberately, but more often than not, we just drift. Just drift on the wrong road. We stop paying attention, or we listen to the guidance of others rather than trusting our own experiences and knowledge, trusting the word of God. We think we'll be okay, and we end up very far from where we thought we would. And that is what we want to avoid. What we need to listen to when Jesus states in verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is what believing in Jesus is all about. Not getting lost, not going the wrong way, not believing there is another way to the Father. You've got to make sure that you get to the Father at the end of your life. When we go anywhere, we tend to plan it. Sometimes without much thinking. Because we know the way. I know the way to Needleworth from home, so I didn't give it a huge amount of thought, but I did have to remember to take the right turnings to get to this destination this morning. If we go on holiday, if we go somewhere new, or we visit someone for the first time, we make sure we plan out the journey. And life is just a long journey with a destination at the end. And while that destination for everybody is God, because we will all end up with God. We're not all actually going to end up where we want to. He will send us to heaven or to hell. Where do you want your life to end up? So I'm going to break this into four parts. Break down Jesus' argument. The four parts that he states really. I am the way, part one. I am the truth, part two. I am the life, part three. And no one comes to the Father except through me. So we'll work through each of those sections. Firstly, I am the way. What does Jesus mean when he says, I am the way? On any journey, as I've said, you need to know where you're going. Where are you going? Life, all life, ends at some point. And when it ends, you will find yourself before God the Father. And as I just said, he'll give you one of two destinations. When you get off the vehicle of life, you will find yourself in heaven with God the Father, treated as a co-heir in Christ, or you're going to face eternal punishment in hell. Surely for anybody in this world, hell is actually unexpected. It's one place that most people don't think they're going to end up. Who amongst us willingly states, I think I'm going to go to hell? Most hope that heaven isn't even real. Because if heaven isn't real, then hell can't be real. And it's easy to just forget it or just carry on. Is that you? And it could be that you know the path you're on is the wrong way. But you aren't quite sure of the right way. You look around and you don't know how to get on the path that you need to go the right way. Like travelling back from our honeymoon and ending up near Coventry, I'd suggest it's because you went the wrong way and you stopped paying attention. It's not likely that anyone actively was looking to go to hell. Like, we don't deliberately get lost, but it can happen. So please pay attention to where you're going, how you're spending your time, who you spend your time with, what it is that you're doing in your daily lives. Paying attention to what is right and what is wrong. When Jesus says, I am the way, listen, he's the way. So spend your time in him. Follow him. Make sure that every day you spend a little bit of time with Jesus. When Jesus says, I'm the way, he's talking about our earthly living. How we live right now in this world. How we set out on our journey for the route to get to the end. It means living in Christ and being headed in the right direction for eternal living. And eternal living, that comes after death. But how we live now, what we believe now, dictates where we will be when we arrive. The same is true of any journey. The way you go, it dictates where you'll be, obviously. And it's so obvious, but we do seem to forget that. You can't set out for Scotland and end up in France. They are completely different directions. Most people don't plan this journey. This journey at the end of life. They don't map out where they want to be. Some people might be so driven on a career path that from a young age they know they want to be this, and they plan. But not all of us do that. When you set out on a journey, you want to know you're going the right way, so you plan the right way. Those who want to be doctors or accountants or experts of any particular field, they don't stumble upon it. They don't accidentally become a doctor. You have to do so many things along the way, study for so many years. You have to be driven to that destination, work at it. Make sure they're going the right way. And they are tested along the way to make sure they're ready for the next part. But planning ahead is crucial. As I just said, you don't accidentally end up a doctor. But you can, of course, hope to be a doctor and then put no planning into it, make no effort, not go the way that you need to. But then some people are still somewhat surprised. They didn't make it as a doctor. I could have been a doctor, but you didn't do anything about it. I could have gone to heaven. But you didn't do the right things, did you? That's how we often view life. We want to go to heaven, but so few do anything about it, or they spend time convincing themselves it's not real, or it's not earning, or there's another way. But going the wrong way leads to the wrong place. If you're headed the wrong way, sometimes you don't realise until you reach your destination. I said that at the start. Have you ever had it where your sat nav says you have arrived and you quite clearly haven't? You should pay attention to the route as well. You might see markers along the way, road signs, people, Christians living in a different way, being selfless, showing kindness, compassion, not being angry when things go wrong and standing up to what's ungodly. These can be road signs pointing you in the right direction when you look around at your peers. Sometimes when you're driving one way, you see cars coming the other way, flashing their lights and signalling not to go that way because there's an accident. They're warning you. And if you're in Christ, if you're in the vine, that's John 15, verse 1, then you will be alive in Christ, and you will bear the fruit of Christ. And one of these fruits will be to show others the right way. If we're all showing fruit, we can all help each other. And at this point in the Gospel of John, Jesus is really trying to bring it all together to his disciples, bring everything he's taught them together. It's towards the end of his ministry on earth. And he's trying to prepare them for the coming days when he's not going to be around, when they're going to be tried, crucified, when he's going to be tried, crucified, and then resurrected. But he's also trying to prepare them for a time when he's not going to be around on earth at all. The I ams of Jesus show the disciples and readers that he is God. Jesus is God. That he has all the qualities of God, the attributes of God. The Old Testament... The Old Testament God quoted in Exodus. So, Exodus 3 verse 14, it says, I am what I am. It's God talking. And the Son of Man, who would come to save us from sin, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, that's Jesus. He is, I am what I am. He's, I am. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. I am. And where's he going in the passage? Where he's going, we should want to go. He's talking to his disciples about where I am going, you should want to go. Look at the text, verses 4 to 5. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. And how can we know the way? Notice just briefly, that it's Thomas who says this. You might, when you think of Thomas, you might think, doubting Thomas. He didn't believe that Jesus was back from the dead. And I could give a whole talk on how I believe Thomas is so devoted. And when he doubted, he was just broken. He was so beyond being consoled that Jesus was back. Because all his hope was in Jesus. And here he is. He's with Jesus. Quite a lot of the other disciples are not there. But Thomas is there because Thomas wants to be where Jesus is every second he can. Because he's there, he's panicking a little bit. I do not know the way. And he wants to be there. Where Jesus is going, that's where Thomas wants to go. And he wants to be sure of the way. That's a good thing. And it's in response to this devotion that Jesus utters the eternal words that we're most focused on here in this text. That he is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is saying he's prepared rooms for them all in heaven. To be with the Father, verses 2 and 3. And Jesus says, there's plenty of space. And you know the way. And the way is through me. I am the way. Thomas wants to be sure that he's going the right way to be with Christ. That he's going to be with God. Do you feel like this? Do you follow Jesus like this, showing your devotion, your hope of being with him here on earth, on the way, but also so that you can be with him forever? Let's move on. I am the truth, my second point. I am the truth. We like to have someone that we can trust leading us, don't we? Particularly when we set out on a journey. You want to know they're telling the truth. It's reassuring to be a driver or a passenger and have someone say, don't worry, I know the way. I've been there before. And sometimes people say this, they can't actually remember the way. Or the way is different, or the way has changed. New road layouts, new obstacles. You can be led astray. People who sound confident can be very convincing. Be wary of that as a Christian. Even when they're wrong or they're lying, they might sound utterly convincing. We can be deceived. We can just as easily put our faith in technology only for the road to have changed, for the sat nav not to be up to date, thinking that you're in a field trying to position you somewhere else. And with this in mind, I want you to remember the father of lies. the devil. He would do his best to convince us that Jesus is not who he claims to be, that he is not the only way to live, that he is not true, that he is not the life, and he's not the only way to the Father. That's what the devil wants you to believe. And John 8:44 reminds us that the devil is the father of lies, and he has nothing to do with the truth. The devil's one purpose is to lead us from the truth, to convince us that everything else is the way, that everything else is the lie. And they are not. Jesus is the truth, and the truth will set us free from sin. That's John 8:31 and 14 verse 6. Truth becomes clear over time. Lies become clear over time. We can be wrapped up in lies, and we can convince ourselves that they're the truth, but the truth wins out. If you sit in a job interview and you embellish your experience so much, you can convince people, if you sound convincing enough, that you can do anything. But if you can't actually do the task that you're expected of, and they ask you on your first day to go and do that, maybe a few months down the line, maybe not the first day, but you will be found out. So if you state that you can do something, and you really can, you will be found out. You said you could do it, oh, you can, brilliant. You said you could do that, and you can't. The truth wins out. Jesus says he is the truth. He's already backed this up countless times in the Gospels. Was and is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies of the coming Messiah. He proved to be the instrument of God, the Word of God, to be God, to be all those I ams. Jesus is true. Think about that. There's too much evidence in this world available to us right now that proves that Jesus really existed. He was a real man who really existed at the time frame that we are talking about. You can't argue that he didn't exist. He did exist. It can be proved. So if he existed, well, who is he? That's the decision. You can't say he didn't exist. He did exist. So who is he? And who is he to you? That was actually the title of my first ever sermon I preached. Who is Jesus to you? He is God. He is telling you the truth. And if he is, therefore he is the only way. Or do you think he's a liar? Something that none of the evidence backs up. Particularly when he says, I am the truth. When Jesus says he is the way, it is the truth. Everything about him is true. He's also the life. My third point, I am the life. The middle of this journey. You know the way. You know it's true. And now you need to travel it. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. It's verse 12. We need to regularly remind ourselves that no matter how busy we are in church, how much we do, that doesn't save us. This is simply following Jesus' example and command. It's good to be involved, it's good to be busy, but that doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. We do the works of Christ not to earn salvation, but in reaction to our salvation. We are saved through his works only, through him being the way. And he is the way because he dealt with our sin on the cross, and we cannot do this. Don't get caught up thinking that your actions earn you holiness. If you want to know more about this, read Romans. I've been preaching through Romans fairly recently. And it just backs up continually that no matter how much you do, it's all on Christ. And you do it because you love Christ. If your actions are done to earn you a reward, it's backwards. Your actions should be motivated by the reward that you've already had. And you don't deserve it. Remember, grace and mercy, these are two words that we use a lot in church, but don't use them so much in daily life. Grace is being given something that you don't deserve. It's a gift. You don't deserve it. Here you go. And mercy is being spared from the thing that you do deserve. You deserve to be punished, but I'm not going to punish you. We don't deserve to go to heaven, but Jesus shows us grace, and he made a way for us. And mercy is not being given what we deserve. So we deserve to be punished, our destination is hell, and we are spared from that through Jesus. And if we've been shown such grace and such mercy, let's show that to others. To people who've upset you, to people who have wronged you, to those who've got it wrong themselves. It's an incredible motivator and the ultimate example of doing the works of Jesus. It won't earn you salvation, but it might just lead others to theirs. Jesus sets an example that he wants us to try and replicate, to draw others to him, to the truth, that he is the only way to live on earth, and he is the only way to heaven. One of the other I ams, I am the bread of life. You could ask of that, what's your life about? He's the bread of life, what's your life about? What excites you? What motivates you? Whatever that may be, Christ must be the centre of it. Hold on to it. Is Christ the centre of your life? Is he the thing that your life is built around? Or do you have your life and you try and inject Christ into it? The answer is no. If your life isn't built around Christ, take this as a signpost that I was talking about earlier to get you back in the right direction. It doesn't mean you're completely doomed, but just think, can I do something to get myself back in the right direction? It's okay. We all do it. You might just stop paying attention. You might have slipped past the turning to Bedford. Don't end up in Coventry. But the great thing about being lost is being found, finding your way again. How good does it feel when you're lost, but then you know you're headed in the right direction? Jesus is the good shepherd, John 10. He seeks his lost sheep, Matthew 18 and Luke 15. And he knows you by name. And if you are truly saved, you cannot be taken from his grasp. In the verses just following what we're reading here, Jesus talks of leaving a helper, the Spirit, to be with believers for the rest of their earthly lives. The Spirit is God, just as Jesus is God. Remember, God is a triune God. One God, but three persons. That's really hard. It's almost impossible to accurately grasp that, to grasp the Trinity. And there are many ways that we can try and grasp the Trinity, and if I try and explain any of them, you can ultimately pull them apart and say they're wrong, they don't quite work. I could give talks for hours on this. But we can remind ourselves of some things to help us understand and apply this to any passage. Any passage that we look on that focuses on one aspect of God more than the other, more than another. And this passage, more than most, clearly talks of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit with equal emphasis. But remember, there's only one God. There's not three gods. There's one God. But that God is made up of three distinct persons, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And each of those persons is fully God. They're all holy. They all work to the same goal. They all work together in perfect harmony. While Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, it is with the Spirit's help that we live this life. And through knowing the way, and knowing the truth, and knowing the life, that we reach the Father. My final point, no one comes to the Father except through me. This talks of our Heavenly Father, our heavenly destination. The end of our journey, and not the beginning or the middle of it. We've established the way, that the way is true, that it's the journey of life. So we will live a certain way, and we will have help to do that. But where does it lead? He and the Father are both God. Verses 9 and 11. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Remember, there's one God, a triune God, with three distinct persons who all work together. Everything now is coming together. The I am of Exodus 3, all the way to the Gospels, to the previous I am statements, to this ultimate statement. If it wasn't clear before, it should be clear now. Jesus is God. When we were headed up the M1 on the way from our honeymoon, it was the right way. But it soon became the wrong way because I missed a turning. roads, they all have multiple destinations, and we usually only need part of them to get where we want to go. To get to God, many people would have you believe the father of lies, that there are many ways to God, and they all lead to God. And it's true, actually, in some respects. All roads lead to God, but God will not send you to the same place. When people we know, our friends, our colleagues, our family members, how many of them go to church? How many of them care about any of this? They are lost. They are going the wrong way. Help them. There is no other way. Whatever they're doing to get there is wrong. They do not lead to the same destination. You can't set out for one place, go all the wrong routes, and still expect to get there. Jesus is so many things, that each I am only gives a glimpse of all that he is. Now in all these seven I ams, you can barely dip your toe in the ocean trying to explain them all. I can't adequately cover all these aspects, and I pray that we each spend the rest of our lives just learning how great he is. That before Abraham, he was. He's the maker of the heavens, the bright morning star, the breath of all creation, the beginning and the end. He's the one who walked on water. He's the one who calmed the seas. He's the one who performed miracles and wonders. He's the fount of living water, the bread of life, the light of the world, the risen Son of Man, the healer of the broken, the Savior and Redeemer. He bore the sins of man. He's the author. He's the perfecter. I'm the Word of God the Father. He knew you before you were born. He's the Good Shepherd, the door, the resurrection and the life, the true vine, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Holy Lamb. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. Pray to him. Acknowledge who he is, what he's done. Say sorry and ask to be forgiven. It's that easy. Are you going the wrong way, or are you still lost? Amen. We will sing one more hymn to finish off our service, which is number 278 in the Psalms of Fellowship. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Lord, we do just pray that you will help us to remember this, to remember that we need to be going the right way. We need to focus our lives on you and help us to steer others to do the same. Help us to share the good news of the gospel, be inspired by what we've read today to do that. We ask this in your name. Amen.